that we have been hearing. And I would go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We have some here who, we thank God, have recently begun to attend some of the assembly meetings. And it is a good thing for those who attend to begin to understand God's prophetic program. And indeed, it's something that is very important because of what we have been hearing. You find that this great warrior was about to depart, and he speaks about all them that love his appearing. And we thank God for the application of these precious truths. But let me remind you that this warrior, as he uses these words, he speaks about a crown. He speaks about his appearing. And when we were listening this morning, you remember how that we were instructed that the millennium is coming. That the Lord Jesus Christ is coming out and we are coming with him. And consequently, it's a good thing to be able to understand the things that differ. And I'm sure that there are those today, in fact, I believe it should be the desire of every one of our hearts to be able to say, Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But the coming of the Lord Jesus, this is known to those who are seniors. It's one coming in two aspects. And that is why when those who are younger, you might have heard that our brother mentioned that the millennium is when the Lord Jesus, when we come out with him. Well, you find that then we would have to first of all be with him. And in his coming, we know that he's coming first to the air. That is what we speak about the rapture. And then there's a period of time, and you find the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in public manifestation. Now that is what the Apostle Paul said unto all them that love his manifestation. Not just the rapture, because there's the possibility that we would say, I wish the Lord would come and I would get out of this trouble. And that certainly will be true. But that is not what the Apostle Paul had in mind. What he saw in the appearing was that there was a moment when the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is conveyed in 1 Thessalonians 4, when he himself will move out as he commences his coming. And then you find that there's going to be the shout. There's going to be that awakening shout. He's going to appear. There's going to be the trump. And there's going to be the great resurrection of those who asleep in Jesus. And how that should comfort and does comfort the hearts of God's people. Then there's going to be the reunion. Together we will then be raptured to meet the Lord in the air and so to be forever with the Lord. That is given to us for a number of reasons, and you find one of them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the comfort of aching hearts. But God does not give us these things for mere information. We thank God for the table out there with the written ministry of many of God's dear stewards of truth who have left the written ministry. It's a delight to sit in the Bible reading and to hear men that are gifted opening up the Holy Scriptures. But you know, there is a possibility, I learned it when I was a young believer, you know, you learn these cliches, it's better to be a fool on fire than a scholar on ice. That's true. It's what filters down from the head into the heart that is really going to make a difference to your life and mine down here as we seek to live for the Lord. So when Paul speaks about crowns, he's thinking about that part of what we call the rapture. When the Lord takes us home, he calls us up, and then you find there's going to be the review of at least four things in your life and in mine. I would like just quickly to look at these. First of all, I would go to the Roman epistle. That's that great epistle on salvation. And in chapter 14, I'll just read the verse and make a few comments. In Romans chapter 14, verse 2:10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or the revised version gives of God. If you looked at this chapter here, you would find that there may be, even in our modern day, that there are certain people who would be probably just like the Jewish people in that day. I don't know, I praise God that I was brought into a Christian home, that I was nurtured in the Scriptures, that I observed and that I heard and knew when God saved me the truth of gathering to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't know where I'd have been today if I had been brought into a home where it was the darkness of religion that is sometimes spoken of in a different aspect in the country that I was born. And you find that there were people in that day who came out with still the trappings of religious things upon them. Certain days, certain diets. And you find here in chapter 14 that one of the things God wants us to remember is what we have just been hearing, that in every Christian's life, we should have that love, and if love does anything, it makes us into gentlemen and holy women. It should be a manifestation, remember, there's none of us without excuse, for we know that love is an attribute of God. And when you and I were saved by God's grace, according to Romans chapter 5, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. So that if we're saved, there is absolutely no excuse and say that this is an impossibility in my life. We have the love of God pulsating in each one of our hearts. That is why we find so many references to love in the Holy Scriptures. And you would find that Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is at verse 14 where he says, the love of Christ constraineth me. It's a constraining love. It's a love that when you and I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only way we can love him is if we're saved, because we love because he first loved us. So what we have in the Holy Scriptures, it's not for us to be discouraged. It's the possibility. We have got the potential of obedience to God's word and living in this world to the honor and glory of God as our little lives are lived out, whether it's at school or in the kitchen or the workshop or in the assembly. It's a lovely thing to ask God that our lives may be a little burnt offering that will be ascending in the nostrils of God. It's possible. But listen, there's one thing we have here in this 14th chapter of Romans. And that is, and I would just give it because we'd like to make room for another, if we would put over that chapter our manners in relationship to other believers. Our manners in relationship to other believers. You know, when Paul opens up this lovely, this book on salvation, he deals in chapter 2 with the principles of judgment. And brethren, you know, there's the solemn possibility, as James reminds us, of the coming judges with evil thoughts. Now here you have what God himself is going to review. Your manners and mine. Our behavior. One toward another. I remember as a young believer that as a young missionary just going out full of all sorts of grandiose ideas, I happened to be walking down, some of you might remember the old missionary home on Wellesley Avenue in Belfast. And I was walking with my Bible going to the meeting. And I met a man with a Bible and I commented, "That's a good book." And when I said that, he did a 90 degree turn over the street, way up, and I stood and watched him. And he went into a double door. And some of you know those parts, you know that that was an assembly of exclusive brethren. Standing on that street, I asked God that I would never, ever be guilty of that behavior toward one another. Brethren, it's so easy for the flesh to take over. But you find here that there's pain. If you and I, in our behavior, do not behave in a godly fashion, that it's solemnly possible, as you read down the chapter, to stumble some weak brother. Oh, there's been many who have been stumbled. And we pray before God that our lives would never ever manifest a characteristic that would stumble any child of God. I know this has got to do with a marvelous truth, the liberty of the child of God. And we're not saying too much about that. But brethren, I would commend this chapter to you because God is going to review my behavior in relationship to other saints of God. There are those who haven't had the privilege that some of us had. You heard of our brother Walter, and it's very, very good. It's most encouraging what God can do to all of us people. Brethren, there are people out there that know nothing about the truth that you and I know. Let us remember this. There's some time they're coming out with these trappings, religious trappings. You know what will make a great difference? If you ever led one of these people to the Lord Jesus, if you ever brought forth children with all these trappings, and you see them developing slowly, you can't give them everything at once. And so you find that slowly but surely, and remember this, you can use truth in a very legalistic way. All because you get the covered head, and you get the silence and one thing or another, and God bless you, sister. But dear, remember this, what it signifies. It's something to do with the heart, not just the head. And some of us have labored amongst people who have come out with religious trappings. We give God thanks when we have seen them bowing to believers' baptism. And then you find, you see, a covering on their head. And you know, when I get that far, I think I've gone many, many miles in the things of God. Oh, may God help us, brethren. You know, remember this, that the only place in this world where there's going to be encouragement, where there's going to be a helping hand, where people are going to be edified and going to be helped, is in the assembly of God's people. And brethren, if it's not there, where is it going to be? Could it be possible that there's some? And it's verily true, I could stand here today and tell you of experiences which I'm not going to do. But some who are away from the assembly because of bad manners of some towards them. Oh, may that truth of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 grip my own soul. And if you want to put over this lovely little chapter one of a word that would just God, when he reviews your life, that he would put over this aspect, graciousness. Act very graciously. Oh, brethren, when we come into the assembly, it's a wonderful thing. And then as we progress in the things of the Lord, and quite often as sitting with brethren this morning, or on the platform before God's people, I often wonder just how gracious God has been to me. We're saved by grace. Brethren, don't be characterized by hardness. Be characterized by grace. Remember your manners towards a fellow believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now you'll forgive me if I differ from some. I know the theologians believe that this has simply got to do with teachers. I know that. And I thank them for that. But brethren, let us look at this aspect. And we read here verse 13. Each man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Here you find in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now here you find in verse 13, the day, referring to the judgment seat of Christ. Young believers, be in the assembly by conviction and not by convenience. I want you to look at this because this speaks of a day when each will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And in this aspect, you find that the Lord is going to evaluate what you and I have built into the assembly. Brethren, if the only builders were the teachers, I don't think we would have very much. I would rather look upon this as we're all building. But notice, we have six materials here. You have the wood, hay, and stubble. You find that anybody could produce that. That's a product of nature. It looks big. It's easily obtained. And during the war, I remember some of us here would remember that they built air raid shelters in the streets of Belfast. And of course you find that they did put the bricks up, but some of them took rubbish and stubble and they filled them up, and then when the test came, you find that those things were blasted away and people lost their lives inside. Brethren, we don't walk by sight. We don't build by sight. We have been given here so clearly what you and I can build into the assembly. I don't want to take up too much time, but I would like you to know that when the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle, and he says, as it is written, that he wasn't referring to anything but the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. Many of the quotations, but turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs. And verse 20. Where he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now here we have the Lord's word. And this is what it says in verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Chapter 26 and verse 20. Thought you would have helped me out there, Walter. Chapter 26 and verse 20. There you have wood associated with tale bearing. My brethren, that can be built into an assembly and it can wreck an assembly. A tale bearer. You know, one of the things you'll find as you move amongst the Lord's people, if you do move a little bit, and you stay long enough amongst the Lord's people, you'll find that there's not a perfect assembly in the whole wide world. I know that there's some here from Ireland and they'll probably write it back. But even there, you find there's lots of trouble. And brethren, it isn't edifying to be bearing tales from one place to another. We can do without wood. Look at Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 24. Therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the hay, the Revised Version says, or chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. There you have hay. And it's associated with despising the word of the Lord. And then stubble, casting away the, despising the word and casting away the law of the Lord. Young believer, let me tell you this, that God did not permit Moses just to have a look at the pattern and then go down and think up what he saw. And there's no man crowned except he strive lawfully. You don't need to read the latest modern tactics as far as the gospel is concerned. You don't need to say, well, I think this is a good idea and we should bring this into the assembly. Do not set aside the Word of God, or the principle by which the Lord in His mercy and grace desires His assemblies to function by. I don't care who it is, but if they go against the Word of God, you find that it's putting in hay and stubble. The fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. Does that not give you fear, brethren? Would that not make you move amongst God's people and in the assembly or in assembly fellowship with a certain amount of fear? That you would be obedient to God's Word and that you would get to know the principles of God's Word. Many's a time, brethren, I've said this to myself, I wish I didn't know the Word of God. Why? It would have been the easiest thing just to give in and to associate and to have peace. Brethren, I know what it is to plant an assembly and to work in an assembly and to be shut out of an assembly. Why? Because the Word of God, I cannot deviate from it. There are divine principles. And anything that's casting away the Word of the Lord, I don't care how novel it is or how modern it is, when I have the Word of God, the principles by which you and I are called upon by God to function in the assembly of God's people. Then we have gold, silver, and precious stone. Brethren, I'm sure of this. If the brethren here said, would some of you brethren go out and get some wood and hay and stubble? My, we could have lots of it there on the lawn. What about gold, silver, and precious stone? Hard to get. Have to be mined out. Yes, brethren, remember this. The gold would remind us of that which speaks of deity and spiritual food from the risen head in glory. Silver, as you know, is associated with redemption. Brethren, remember this. What you catch people with in the gospel, that's what you'll have to keep them with. If you leave it to God, I love those words of the Lord Jesus where He said, I have given them Thy Word. And then we can ask the Spirit of God to bless it. And brethren, any who are born of the Spirit of God, and I believe that most of us would acknowledge that in our service, we have had our fair share of duds added even to the assembly. Let's remember silver associated with the gospel, the redemption, the proclamation of the gospel. Brethren, we thank God for every born again child of God. Their place is at the assembly, not all there. Let us remember that these are the things God wants to build in. And then precious stones, and every one of us are precious. Got to do with the saints, fitting them, helping them. So these things are very precious. Now, seeing that you and I are going to have that evaluated by the Lord Jesus. Brethren, we have lost some people in the assemblies through legalism, through ritualism. But what is that lovely word that could cover and could bring out in the judgment seat that which will be glorifying to the Lord Jesus? Carefulness. I believe that's what we have here. careful
where you build.
Careful what you build. Careful why you build. Because you find there's a day coming when you will stand before the Lord and He will assess every man's work of what size it is. That's what some people would like to say. But it's what sort it is. And if you and I labor and could just have a little gold and a little silver and one or two precious stones, the Lord Jesus Christ has died. My, wouldn't it be lovely on that day? That is why I believe Paul said, they that love His appearing. Now in chapter 4, because time is gone, and I want to give it to you because I want you to have that, especially young believers. In chapter 4, you find here the Apostle Paul is speaking about his stewardship. And there's a variety of stewardships in the New Testament. But here you find he's speaking about what we call man's day, man's judgment, how man looks upon things. And to get right down to what I have in my mind, because I'm going to sit down shortly, here you find the motives of stewardship brought before us. You know, brethren, I thank you for the invitation to come to the conference, and I love to be with the Lord's people. But there are many times, and I say this before the Lord, I have to get down and ask what my motive is in my stewardship to God, in my stewardship of truth. What is my motive? You know, there are times you're not just too sure. And Paul says, though I have nothing, read it, though I have nothing against myself, I am not thereby justified. There's one that judges me, and that is the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For I know nothing by myself or against myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. And the Lord is going to judge the motives in that day. And brethren, the last that we have got to do is turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here we have the apostle. It's such a lovely, lovely chapter this. Here you have him bringing before us the anticipation of glory. And you know, it's loving his appearance. Love to the Lord Jesus and loving his appearance. And Paul seemed to have no dread of the judgment seat of Christ. Why? I believe the Apostle Paul, as I heard old John McAlpine years ago, when he was an old man, he said, keep short accounts with God. He kept continually seeking to be before God, in the presence of God. Brethren, things look a lot different there, don't they? In the presence of God. And here we have what was referred to by some of our speakers today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ, everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Brethren, you find the Apostle Paul, you can read this at your leisure. But if he was very careful in relationship to the building in of the assembly, you find here that he was very earnest in his gospel proclamation. He speaks here about in the sight of God. Notice verse 11. But we are manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Here you have the Apostle Paul speaking about his life and his testimony and his conscience before God and what that man showed in his life to people. You'll find that quite often your life speaks so loud that they'll either hear what you say or they'll shut their ears. And may the Lord bless his word for his own sake.